desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I'd like to write the title on the board. I'm going to abbreviate the first couple words. We've been speaking of stewardship of possessions, and this morning with the subcategory of generosity. We've spent a good time together on this subject of stewardship. So far, stewardship of time, stewardship of gifts and talents, and now we've spent, I don't know, at least a couple of Sundays on stewardship of possessions with a particular focus on resources, our tangible resources, and have found that stewardship of possessions touches us in very personal, direct ways in our lives. It speaks to our earning. It speaks to our saving and our spending and our giving. And I've also found in Scripture that the Scripture deals with these realities, specifically teaching us about, and we've written them on the board, honesty and moderation, and this morning, generosity, contentment, and eternal investment. We've spoken to a couple of those. Two or three Sundays ago, we spent some time on honesty and moderation. And I'd like to now turn our attention to the subject of generosity. Stewardship of our possessions as it has to do with generosity. And I'm going to say this before I get started, that as I have studied this and given it consideration, I have been very personally challenged for myself. Gets very close. And so if by chance this morning as we go through this topic, if you too feel a little challenged with the topic, know that you're not alone, because I'm right there with you. What is generosity? I remember growing up, there was somebody that we knew very well that I remember my mom saying that you almost had to be careful when you went into her house, because if you would go into her house and if you said, "Boy, that is a beautiful picture that you have on the wall. I really like that picture. That's beautiful." She very likely would go take the picture off of the wall and say, "Here, you take this picture home with you. I want you to have this." And that wasn't just an isolated case. There was something in her heart that caused her to find, it seemed like, as much joy in seeing you enjoy what she had as much as she enjoyed what she had. And so she was willing to give it to you from her heart. Generosity. What does generosity mean? Kind, liberal in giving, unselfish. Move from the heart to give liberally. That's the kind of generosity I'm thinking of. I suppose it's possible for somebody to give something that others would view as a very generous gift, and perhaps it would be a very generous gift. But I'm thinking this morning and being challenged of being generous from the heart. Are we generous? How would other people define you? How would other people define me and say, are they generous? I know a lot of times we simply are not aware of what other people give and don't give. And we can be way off track in our judgment of whether other people are generous or not generous. But I still want to be known as somebody that's generous, as opposed to, well, yeah, I know Rod. He's stingy, hard to get him to let go of anything. I would rather that not be the testimony of my life. But more importantly, there is one that knows exactly who we are, and that's God. And so this morning, I wonder how God would define me. I remember one time that there was something I saw that I suppose painted a picture, or rather a moving picture in my mind that I don't know if I'll ever forget. And I've related it to some, so perhaps you've heard it. But I used to have occasion to be in downtown Atlanta quite a bit. Right down in the middle of Atlanta, on one of the busy streets. Many shopping places, many restaurants, bustling with activity. People at all places of life, from the rich to the poor. There may be a very poor, in trouble individual on your left hand, and on your right hand, somebody in very well-to-do, grabbing something to eat as they rush on to their next business meeting. And I remember walking down the street, and as I was walking, I was approaching a place on my right, and I looked, and there, sitting on the sidewalk, in the midst of all the activity, not saying anything, not calling out, not waving his hand, I saw one of the most destitute looking people I have ever seen in my life, sitting against the wall on the sidewalk. No, he wasn't made up. It wasn't a farce. You can't fake what I saw. He looked like somebody that you would see on the front cover of a magazine that was going to tell a story about the poorest of the poor in some third world country. He was gaunt. Oh, he was so thin. He looked so pitiful. He was sitting there, and his limbs, they were just intertwined with each other, and he had this tattered piece of cloth over him. And he just sat there, and he had a little cup out in front of him. And he was just sitting there. And as I looked at that, and my mind started to turn, what is my responsibility? No, watch that. It's looking at him. Here came another man, destitute, in trouble, with very little. A homeless man, no doubt, by all appearances. And he approached this man, and as he got to him, he stopped. And he looked down at him, and he reached into his stuff, and he came out with some change, and he bent down, and he put his change in that poor man's cup. and I shall never forget. The picture of that in my mind, what the other destitute man was thinking when he gave of the little that he had, while I'm standing back watching, so blessed in life. Challenging? No? You see, practicing generosity is not about what you don't have. It's about being willing to give of what you do have. Generosity is about more than believing in the virtue of being generous. But being a truly generous person has to do with having a character trait that results in action, not just in your mind, but action. To give in a way that demonstrates the love of God. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world. For God, He so loved the destitute and the needy. He so loved those that had nothing. He loved in a way that caused Him not just to notice it, but He loved in a way that caused Him to give His only begotten Son. Caused Him to give in a way that wasn't defined as giving the minimum. Caused Him to move upon His throne to give of His very best. And there's a verse in 1 John 3:17, not John 3:17, but 1 John 3:17. And John offers a sobering observation, and he says, in essence, if you have this world's goods, you have them, and you see your brother in need, and you close up your heart, how can the love of God be in that person? 1 John 3:17, words of the gospel, not mine. Clearly, we're not able to provide for all that are in need. And clearly, the Lord is not asking us to go home and empty everything that we have out. Certainly not in all cases. And then go and just arbitrarily just give tomorrow in that way. And clearly, yes, the Lord wants us to use wisdom in how we give. And no, I don't want to be the one that just enables people that are making poor decisions, and they know they're making a poor decision, and they're just taking advantage of those that'll give when they have ability on their own, and I just feed it, and as opposed to teaching the man how to fish and let him fish and feed himself. I get that. I know that. But brothers and sisters, when I get to the end of the way, if I am going to err on one side or the other of mercy or justice, I want to err on the side of mercy. If I'm going to make decisions in this life, in how I give, and I am always so diligent in my reasoning to make sure I don't give to somebody that is not worthy of receiving. Well, they should have known. They should have had. That's their problem. They're a well-bodied person, and I probably said that myself. Let them go work like I've worked. I get it. There's a place for that. I'm not saying that there's nothing to it. However, if that is my mindset, and that my giving is always limited to my sense of justice, I'm going to get to the end of the way, and there's probably some people that God wanted me to give to that I didn't give to. And I would rather err on the side of giving when it offends my sense of justice, rather than living my life and getting to the end of the way having closed my heart because of my sense of justice. And the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. I told you this before too. When I was young, we started being given a little bit of money to learn how to manage. We three were given 75 cents each. And 25 cents of the 75 was supposed to be given to the Lord. And so when the three quarters were picked up from the table, two of them were for me, but I had to give one of the quarters to the Lord. My calculator's still right. That's 33.33% of what I was given. I was taught, you give that to the Lord. And if I would be honest with you this morning, which I endeavor to always be, it wasn't necessarily given from the cheerfulness of my heart. I had to give it. I was told I had to give it. This is what you have. You give 33.33% of what you have to the Lord. And so I did. Because it was strongly suggested, in parentheses, directed to do so. And it was right for my dad to do that. He was teaching us in our young formative years, teaching us about giving and about supporting the work of the Lord and about managing your money. It was right to do that. I remember reading in Exodus, the 35th chapter, when they were building the temple, and the people were required by law to give a certain amount. That's by law. Whether you want to or not, this is what you need to give. But when they were building the temple, they set up this other place to give. And it was called a freewill offering. And the people were told and encouraged, look, yeah, I mean, you got to give this over here. But over here, if there's something else that you want to give from your heart, not mandatory, not direct, you don't have to. No one's going to come knock on your door if you don't. You're not going to be condemned if you don't. But if your heart leads you here, give over here. And do you know what happened? Do you remember what happened? The people gave so much from their heart that it, in essence, figuratively speaking, began to overflow the free will offering box. And if I remember right, the word in the King James Version said that they had to restrain the people. So that's enough. Stop giving. You've given enough. We got plenty. Stop giving from your heart to this cause. Wow. How do we give? aligning our resources with God's kingdom is not all of it, but is part of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's a part of it. There's a verse in Proverbs 11 and 24, and it said, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth." There is that, though. There is that one that takes their resources and they scatter it out and they give to this and it goes over here and it goes over here, and yet they still increase. Counterintuitive. They're giving out and yet they increase. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. There's the one that holds to themselves more than what they really should hold. And yet, the result of that isn't that they get richer, but it tends, it says, to poverty. "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." These verses are something to think about, to consider. I find that it's so often easy to scatter unto yourself. Scatter my resources back to myself. Over here and over here, and then I scatter it over here. All these different things I find for myself. That it's easy to do that, but you know, it almost seems like there's this for many human beings then, but then when it comes time and there's a need, and there's the kingdom of God, and there's people that are destitute, and that sometimes it seems like that it's harder to let go of a much smaller amount to that. And we feel like sometimes, I'm not speaking for everybody, sometimes people can feel like they've really done something. I gave this, and yet, when you compare it to all that we scatter to ourselves, it causes me to think. I just think it's important for us to come face to face with this tendency. This message is not to guilt us into giving at all. This message is not at all to insinuate that the Lord doesn't want us to enjoy the fruit of our labor. There's nothing wrong with that. We work, we use the fruit of our labor to live, and we get to enjoy it. Thanks be to God. What He's given us that we can enjoy. Lord, just help us to use these truths to just make sure that there's some balance. I think about the words of Jesus in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Words of Jesus, and we won't turn there for the sake of time, but the words of Jesus when He said that there's going to come a day when the God of heaven comes in all of His glory, and the God of heaven that so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that God, that gave to us as destitute, needy people that had nothing to save ourselves, that God is going to come at a time unexpected, and He's going to come with all of His holy angels. angels and everything that is going on is going to come to a stop and a standstill. And it said all the nations shall gather before him, and he shall begin to separate the sheep from the goats. And the ones that he separates to his right hand, he said, I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. He didn't just say, I was hungry and you thought about me. I'm not saying that's right. But he did say, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. Gave me something to drink. I was naked. I didn't have some of those basic needs. And you clothed me. Yes, there were some other things that were given that weren't just tangible resources. It was sin. You came and visited me. But giving what we have, the resources, the tangible resources that we have, it's part of it. And he said, I'm going to separate those that gave to this side and the ones that didn't this side, because I was a hungered. And some gave and some didn't. And they said, both sides said, Lord, I don't remember ever seeing you hungry. Lord, surely, this is me saying this, Lord, surely if I would have seen you hungry, I would have given you. But Lord, I didn't see you. And Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And then the judgment. And I wonder for myself, when that day comes and the card catalog of my life is opened. You know what a card catalog is, the older ones do. Where there's different drawers that represent different areas of my life. And it's my turn to stand and it's my filing cabinet with my name on it. I wonder what the story will be. I wonder how all of that will tally out. As a file cabinet. And when I get to the end of the way, and I know it won't be exactly like this, but the Lord does teach us that everything about our lives is going to come up. And so if I stand before the Lord, and this is mine, and in the top drawer of the file cabinet is earning. And he pulls it out and he looks to see how I earned. Will he find that I earned honestly? Will he find that I earned ethically? Will he find that I lived my life not allowing the desire for more to get in the way of being honest? Pulls this out. And inside is everything in my life. Every single thing in my life having to do with earning.
And he gets through that file cabinet, that file drawer, and he comes down to the next one, and it is spending. He pulls out the drawer. And he looks at everything in my life that has to do with how I spent what I had. Everything's there, all the way back. How I spent, how I stewarded the resources that he gave me. And he gets through that drawer, everything. And he gets to the next drawer and he looks at how I saved. Were you diligent? Did you just live for the moment? Did you steward what I gave you with a thought towards that if I don't come back, there's going to be a tomorrow and you're going to have a responsibility? Or do you just emotionally spend? Did you prepare? Because there's stuff in the Bible about that. And yes, were you moderate? You could go all the way to the other side, and all you ever do is save. Save, 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 save to the detriment of the very ones that you're responsible for. You've earned, and you're supposed to take your earnings and provide for your family, for those in need, but no, it's just saved. All of those things get looked at. There's still another drawer. You know what that drawer is? Giving. Giving. So the Lord looks at my earnings and he looks at my spending, how I spent, he looks at how I saved, and then he pulls this drawer out to see how I gave. There's a final tally. And the Lord looks at all of this, everything. And he gets down here and he looks at my giving. And there's a final tally. The Lord doesn't do final tallies in numbers. It's not a dollar sign that the Lord's saying, I'm looking for this dollar sign right here. And if you don't hit this dollar sign, you're in trouble or you're in. The Lord looks at the final tally in terms of faithfulness. Faithfulness. I remember one time I opened a file cabinet. I had a real file cabinet. And it was filled with stuff in the top drawer. And I couldn't find what I was looking for. And so I pulled the second file drawer open. And the first drawer was still open. Have you ever done that? And you know what about happened? The file cabinet almost fell over. Like, whoa, what's this? Why did the file cabinet almost fall over? It's a file cabinet. It's supposed to stand straight, not supposed to fall over. So, I was like, why did that happen? So, I looked at my file cabinet, trying to figure out why my file cabinet started to fall over when I pulled the top two drawers open. And you know why it was? It's because there wasn't very much in the the bottom two drawers. Had a hard hat in the bottom drawer. Some other things, miscellaneous things. But I had a whole lot in the top two. That's where my focus was, the top two drawers. And my file cabinet almost fell over. I want my life to stand when I get to the end of the way. I don't want to fall when I get to the end of the way because I've given my heart to other things. And I'm so light on the bottom that I can't stand. And you know what? All of us have one of these, and it's yours. It's no one else's, it's yours. And if you'll allow me this illustration, because I'm going to stand before God for myself, and I see myself getting up, and the Lord pulls out that top drawer, and He says, "Rod, is that yours?" "Yeah, that's mine." "Could you put an initial right there? That's your drawer?" "Yeah, it is." And He pulls this one out, and that one, and that one. "Are these yours? Is this you?" "And what are you going to tell God?" "No." "Yeah, those are mine. Just right here." "It's me." You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for mercy. The cross doesn't erase and undo everything that's in the file cabinet, but it can redeem it. Thank the Lord. And I believe today that the Lord isn't wanting to guilt us for the sake of guilting us. But I believe that what he does want us to recognize is that he wants us to follow Him as dear children. He wants us to be a light to demonstrate and to show others who He is, accurately represent the love of Christ. And perhaps sometimes by giving some thought to these sorts of things, it might help us rebalance, redirect, think about this in a little different way. I would rather think about it now rather than wait until I get to the end of the way when God comes back and begins to separate. I'd rather think about it now and thank Him for forgiveness and being so good to me. And Lord, help me to know how to be a good steward of the possessions You've given me. "And as much as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brother," Jesus said, "done it unto me." Let's endeavor to be a kind and generous people. For that is what God has been to us. I want to be true. I want to be faithful. Amen.